What's up, everyone? Welcome back to episode 80 of the Dive Bomb Squadcast. I'm your host, Matt Judy, and today you might see a familiar face on here. If you're at Squad Fest, he was rocking the dive bar. We've got country music singer Ethan Carl on today. How we doing, man?
Doing good, man. Thank you for having me.
Hell yeah, no problem. What you got going? Are you like between shows right now? Or you got something coming up for this weekend or what?
Oh, dude, we've always got something brewing. We play about 150 shows, I think, this year.
Dang.
Maybe a little more than I want, you know. Maybe, I don't know. Guess you can't get too much of a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, dude, I got to get this off my chest immediately. I saw you play a show from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. the other day. And that dude, it had my mind blown. I was like, dude, I got to ask him immediately on this. What was that?
It had my mind blown, too, when it was presented to us. But I mean, I can't say I want to be as big as I want to be and then pick and choose where I play. But
yeah.
It was a wild experience. We played at Pops Nightclub in Sauget, Illinois. And Austin, Cleveland, and Pops are doing an incredible job kind of rebranding. And to be honest, with the crowd they pull, I didn't know how my music was going to fare, but it did well. Broke out the bib overalls for it. No shirt.
Damn. Hell yeah, dude.
Hit an arm day before to make sure I looked the part. Funniest thing about that show, and I had to confess this to my wife, is that I was flashed twice.
Was that the first time at any show yet or what?
No comment on that.
Yeah, gotcha.
It was twice in one night was an experience. But Pops is great, man. I had a lot of fun.
Damn.
Get to my band. I was like, you guys want to do this? Like, this is going to be it's me crazy. But man, honestly, I recovered on sleep, and it was even more fun than I anticipated.
Yeah. So are they like just like a 24-hour venue or something like that? Or like what?
Pretty much. They're right in the heart of some gentlemen's clubs. And gotcha. They get a little spillover depending upon the hour.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Dude, but 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. is just an absolutely insane shift, dude. I was like, oh my gosh, it just blew my mind.
Yeah, I actually got picked up once we tore down. I got picked up about 5:30 a.m. and went right to the airport. We flew to Orlando, played Blake Shelton's bar a couple times down there, and that was by the time we got back in town, dude. I needed to go in a cave. I needed to hibernate,
hide for a little bit. Well, dude, that's awesome. Well, I kind of want to dial it back to the very beginning, you know, of how all this started for you from just like the ground up. So, you know, like, did you play instruments growing up or sing or whatever? Like, how did everything start for you?
I started singing in an choir in high school because I needed to pull my GPA up. My dad was a teacher and the head wrestling coach at the school that I went to. And I was just trying to, like, coast along with B's. Like my whole goal in school was to maintain the minimum grades it would take to keep my old man off my ass.
Damn. Yep.
I feel like choir was going to help me with that, which I guess it did to a certain extent, but I started singing and, you know, there weren't a lot of guys in choir. There certainly were not a lot of wrestlers that were in choir.
True.
And people would say nice things and then you find ways to kind of, when you're young, you find ways to kind of dismiss what they're saying. It's like, oh, well, they're just being nice, or there's no guys in choir, so of course they're going to say nice things. And
yeah,
you get a little further down the line and, you know, it's like, why not give this a go?
True. Dang. So you had a little bit of support. People were like, dang, you're pretty good. And then you didn't believe them?
Yeah. I mean, no, I didn't really believe them. I wasn't terribly confident.
Yeah.
Early in age. I think I hit puberty at like 20. So I wasn't a superstar by any stretch of the imagination.
True. So how'd you get some traction going, you know, in the music industry? Did you start out like wanting to be a country music singer or whatever? Did it start out different or what?
I started out as a teacher. I started out as a in-school suspension and then elementary PE teacher. That was but really it's, I half joke when I say this, but it was like a series of unfortunate events that led me to country music. You know, I was dating a girl. We were engaged. We were together for about 6 years, and you had as much knowledge as I did that was going to end. It was like literally just abrupt. My truck was stolen out of my driveway overnight. If I had a dog, it probably would have died too or ran off or something. But I was like, I needed a change. I'm somebody that kind of needs like a quest. You know, I need to be actively pursuing something. And I was like, I'm not going to grow old and wonder what could have been. So I just kind of floored it with music. My youngest sister is a stage manager now for Maren Morris. And she produced the first songs that we worked on, and she did a great job, and she helped me kind of get my feet under me.
Yeah.
And then train rolls on you.
Hell yeah. Damn, that's pretty sweet, dude. When did you start writing your music, or like, did anything influence that? Did your shitty day kind of influence that back then, or what?
Yeah, it did. It did, dude. I wrote some rap songs in high school that my dad found the lyric sheets to, and he didn't think they were as funny as I did. That was a little awkward. But when I really started writing, I actually was driving one night and I got a text from my old man just about something trivial that had kind of gone wrong in our lives. And I just said, Dad, I could use a win. That was what I responded. I was like, oh, maybe there's something there. So I guess maybe it started out as poetry. I don't know, but I didn't have a melody or anything to it, but I just took my phone out and started using Siri to dictate lyrics into an Apple Note while I was driving.
Yeah.
And then that turned into the first record we put out, and probably the one that people know me the best for.
What year was that?
2022, I think. We're just coming up on the 30. We're just coming up on 3 years of me being full time. So we've done some things that are pretty cool, but you know, I'm miles from where I want to be as Morgan Wallen probably is, you know?
Yeah, dude, as any of us are, even in my waterfowl career, I'm like, dude, I ain't done yet. And I've been doing this for like 17 years. I'm like, dude, I'm not done yet. Hell no. I ain't even peaked out yet. So yeah, everybody's got to have that thing that they keep chasing for sure. So like, I'm totally oblivious to any of this. Like, are you trying to like get to Nashville? Are you just like carving your own path or doing whatever? Like, what is like, what's the path for it? If you kind of know what I'm trying to say. I don't really even know, but I'm like such a rookie at all this, dude. It's all brand new to me.
No, dude, you're good. I mean, trying to get to Nashville, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I could up and move to Nashville tomorrow if I just wanted to, and there's people that are really encouraging me to do that. But we're getting a lot of cool opportunities in town that I don't think I would get in Nashville, and we're gaining traction on social media, and our streaming numbers are growing. And you know, I'm a big God guy, and I think when the time comes where I have to move, I'll know that. I'm not totally opposed to it, but I want to make sure that when I do it, it's the best thing for me and my family.
Yeah, definitely. Damn. So what would you, like, in your mind, what would you think like Nashville would be for you, like if you went there? Because I feel like, I don't know. I feel like people just like kind of go to the bars and play all the time and shit and just kind of like fizzle out, dude. But you said you're doing 150 shows a year.
So yeah.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't even think I'd want to go there, honestly. So I don't know. Is there like different tiers of it when you get there? Like, what's the meaning behind it?
Yeah, I think it's like the Wild Wild West out there. I mean, what's been shared with me is like artist development teams are looking at artists that they've signed, and they're like, so what do you think? And the artists are like, dude, I don't know. You're supposed to tell me, like, what
the hell?
I mean, I think our world and social media and COVID kind of threw everything into a tizzy. But I mean, I've played a little bit on, you know, Honky Tonk Central Circuit down in Nashville, and
yeah,
into some bars on Broadway. And I mean, I'm not knocking it. Like, the people that are doing that, you know, if it's working for them, that's fantastic. But I don't know, dude. I just think there's a better way than playing Should Have Been a Cowboy 50 times in a row.
Or exactly.
10 times in a row. You know, I mean, like, I don't want to get stuck on that rabbit wheel, so to speak. And one of my biggest influences in music is a gentleman here in the St. Louis area named Johnny Holzum. And Johnny was like, this is the music business. And people forget about the business side of things. And you have to look at it through that lens and make decisions based on that lens and what's best for you and your career. So, I mean, I don't know, dude. I'd go to Nashville if it was the best thing, but I'm not. I don't know. I don't know if it is right now.
I feel it. Yeah. No, I definitely feel that. So you say, and you do like around 150 shows a year. There's no way you schedule all those yourself. Does somebody do that for you, or do you do it yourself?
I my wife and I freaking schedule every one of them.
Holy shit. How do you, what comes into lining up a show? I feel like there's a lot that goes into it.
A lot of anxiety, maybe, you know, it happens like the past few Octobers, I've looked at my schedule. I'm like, oh my God, I got a book for the next year. And then it's like,
yeah,
try to get a hold of everybody. But we've built up what I believe to be a solid reputation. And every day we're getting more and more people reaching out to us to play. But, and I've got a band that's killer. And yeah, very patient with me, willing to travel and then make it all happen. But we've, under a few years, we've developed a pretty good little system. There's a lot that goes into it, but you know, that would be my advice to anybody starting out, is surround yourself with a great team.
Absolutely.
Most important thing.
Yeah. With anything, dude, like even like our dive bomb team, I wouldn't trade any of the guys I work with in the world for freaking anybody, dude.
I had never, and I'm not somebody that tries to pretend that I'm something I'm not, but I'd literally never been hunting before Cody Orr and Nathan Hogue got a hold of me. I mean, I was like, when I had a shotgun in my hand, I was a liability. Just genuinely ignorant by definition. Dive bomb got me into hunting, dude. It was you.
That's freaking bad.
It was you guys. My wife probably like half loves you, half hates you.
Damn. So did you go hunt the DB property last year or what?
No, I haven't been out there yet.
Got you.
Our schedules didn't line up, but Nathan hit me up about doing that, and I'm excited to get out there.
Yeah, dude, you got to get out there. It's so badass. Well, yeah. I'm out on the West Coast, so I'm not even from there, but I've hunted it one time, and it was pretty crazy. We had a pretty good duck hunt at home, so it's hard for me to leave. But, dude, that place, that property they built is absolutely phenomenal. Like, you'd be mind-blown how many ducks are in there.
I can't wait to get out there. I mean,
damn, so you went from zero to...
Kind of my personality, though. Like, I mean...
That bomb squad. Yeah, dude.
That's it, dude. That's my personality. I'm all in or I'm all out, and there's very little between. I can't pretend I can't pretend to like things very well. I can't pretend to like people I don't like. Well, it's
for real. Was Nate the one that hit you up to come play at Squad Fest? Was he the one?
Actually, Cody and Nathan combined, I guess. They were the ones that hit me up. We met Cody and I wrestled in the same circle in high school.
Got you. So you knew him already.
Yeah. And then, you know, Austin Williams, of course. Yep. Austin's incredible. And I actually opened for him and Hayden Kaufman at the old Rock House sometime last year. And that was where Orr and I linked up. And he's like, hey, I might have some work for you. And I was like, dude, all in, 150.
Sure, hell yeah.
And then I met Nathan and Cody Stokes and Asher and Bowie and Lars and you and everybody through that.
So. Hell yeah, dude. So I got to ask you, what did you think of the Squad Fest crowd that was there, dude? It was crazy, dude. There were so many people there.
It was insane. Probably my favorite part of Squad Fest was like the built-in horn section that we had with all the duck calls playing in between like a lyric or verse of a song.
That was freaking sweet.
I'm not going to butter his bread too much, but what Stokes has built is the American dream, dude.
Absolutely, dude. Going from selling decoys on Craigslist to what he has now, that's like textbook American dream, dude. I mean, it was over the span of since 2011, but still, who cares, dude? Like, he made it. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
And I never been on Craigslist looking for decoys. I've been perusing other things when I get on Craigslist.
Yeah.
But it can be kind of a dark place too. But what he's done is incredible.
Dude, yeah, it's insane. Like for all the listeners, a lot of people have been to our old warehouse. And if you had been to that one, if you've been to the new one, it makes the old one look like a damn janitor's closet, dude. Like this new storefront is just mind blowing. I know we talked about on the last episode I did, but holy shit, dude. It's like if you are even driving through St. Louis, just stop there and say what up. And everybody at Dive Bomb so friendly. You'll walk in there, you'll just be like hanging out with everybody, dude. So for those listeners, you gotta stop by, man. It was awesome.
No, it's incredible.
Yeah. But I remember, dude, I was grabbing beers and listening to you play. I didn't get the chance to meet you in person there. I was so damn busy at Squad Fest, but drinking beers, listening to music, dude, playing in the little dive bar tent over there. And I think it's going to be bigger and better next year. So that was freaking badass, dude.
Yeah. Well, Chambers and Brian Fuller, man, it was cool to meet those guys too.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll be on here sooner or later if they haven't been already. But yeah, I mean, it was a first class event. Really?
Absolutely, dude. And it blew our expectations completely out of the water. But so the next question I want to ask you is, how does it feel to be on stage in front of just a crowd like that, dude? Do you get nervous before? Does it come natural now or what?
There's some stuff I get nervous for. I sing the national anthem a lot.
Yeah.
And that's like,
I feel like that's a cutthroat one, dude. I feel like you got to be like on your shit on that one.
Be an episode of Naked and Afraid for real, because you're just out there alone with a microphone and it's a tough song, and if you botch it, you know, you're in deep trouble. The song can go terribly wrong. Like, some of my favorite artists won't even touch it
because, really?
Yeah, dude, I swear to God, like, they say the risk is so high and the reward is so low, but I respectfully disagree with the reward being so low. I mean, I didn't do everything you want to do in life, and I didn't serve in our military. No, I'm not a member. I'm not a first responder or anything. And it's a micro way that I can get back that's on brand with what I'm doing.
Absolutely. But
I don't get really nervous for shows, so to speak, as much. So
you don't even get nervous if you have like a sold out show coming up. You don't get. Dude, you're just ready for it.
All right. That was kind of a lie. Our first sold out show was in April. We sold out the old Rock House. And I did get a little nervous for that.
Yeah.
A little nervous for that. But I mean, I guess that's a positive thing, right?
Yeah, like, I feel like after like the first 2 to 5 minutes, you'd just be back in it and just doing your thing.
Yeah. You fall into it pretty good.
Yeah. Dude, I've always dreamed, like, ever since I was, like, a little kid, I've always dreamed, like, in my mind of just, like, in front of a sold-out crowd, just hammering on electric guitar or some shit, dude, with the crowd screaming. I've always dreamed of that. Sounds so sick. I wish I could do it at one point in my life, but I know it's just never going to happen.
Dude, you should come up with us, and you'll either, like, shred an air guitar, or we could, like...
Or something.
Like a balloon that you can, like, a toy or something that you can just...
fake it.
You can like try to smash it and it might go
have
a little squeak.
Well, and then I was looking, so you went to the Calf Fry. That's in Texas, isn't it?
That's in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
It's in Oklahoma. Okay. How was that, dude? It looked freaking fun.
It was lit.
I think that's a pretty big event.
Yeah. Dude, the Calf Fry is great. I mean, I hope to be playing on the big stage there before too long, God willing.
Yeah.
But I love Oklahoma. We're actually going back in September to play at the Salty Bronc in Stillwater. And we just booked 2 more shows in January, one at the Salty Bronc and one at a place called Grady's 66 in UConn, Oklahoma. We want to sell that place out.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
How much, like, before, like, if you're heading to a show, when do you start promoting it? Like, before, what's the timeline of, like, before you're going to show up and how heavy you start promoting online? Or do you let the venues do that?
I try to follow a parallel process. I talk with the venue about what their expectation is, and then we start promoting accordingly. So like for the January shows we're doing in Oklahoma, we'll probably really start pressing at the beginning of September and then dial it up progressively each month, and then 3 weeks out and 2 weeks out and the week of and days out. And
gotcha.
Fill the damn thing out. But it's all kind of relative depending upon what we're doing and, you know, what the expectation is.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if that's right or wrong. People may have a different idea.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, there's probably no right answer to it. I was just curious on like how heavy you start promoting. If it's like a month or 2 months out, or if you really start hammering in like the last 2 weeks. But I feel like it's just like nonstop since you just be traveling around all the time, dude.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for. There are days where it's a total blessing, and there are days where it's overwhelming. And, you know, when I was working a 9-to-5, I certainly had a lot more free time and headspace to things that I like to do. I mean, that's why I like getting out and hunting, to be honest, because it's just check out.
That's what I do, but it's my job now. So it's kind of like this double-edged sword, you know? It's like, it's how I escape, you know, my reality, but my reality is freaking hunting now. So it kind of goes hand in hand, which I can't complain at all, dude. It's been a blessing, like, for sure.
Well, we're in the same boat then. It's how music used to be for me, like, you know, in between classes or wrestling tournaments in college. I didn't know how to play guitar at all. I'd try to make sense of it, but it was kind of like escape. And now it's like, oh no, dude, you better get your butt.
You better start working, dude. Like sometimes, like, okay, so I would say my escape, you know, is not filming a hunt. Like just going out on a hunt and not touching a camera and just hanging with your boys. That's like my escape now. Still hunting, but I don't have to do all the, you know, the work that we do that goes along with it. I'm like, hey, I'm not touching my phone. I'm not touching my camera. Yeah. I'm not touching shit. I'm going to shoot my ducks, throw them in my truck bed and go home. And just like I always need a few of those a year just to kind of escape, you know, what we do 24/7. And I know a lot of these listeners probably, you know, kind of think the same thing. Like it's nice to just hang out with your buddies, shoot the shit and literally worry about absolutely nothing else but just being there with your friends.
Yeah.
You know, for us, like hunting is all about having fun. That's the very first thing that you got to do, or else why are you doing it if you're not having fun? And like I said, that kind of goes with everything. Why would you be doing music if you're not having fun doing it? So what is your favorite venue that you've ever played in your entire career?
Favorite venue I've ever played? Well, two come to mind. One was we got asked to do a little acoustic set on the field for the Chicago White Sox in July, I think, June, I don't know, recently. And that was fun because I like they played my songs on the speakers after. So hearing that in an MLB stadium was like,
sick.
That's what it's all about. And the second one actually came first. We opened for Zach Top at PBR Big Sky in Kansas City. And that was like right as he was exploding. So it was still he was way too big for that venue.
Yeah.
But they sold out whatever the 400 to 500 tickets were.
Damn.
And like me playing before him, you know.
That's good timing though, dude. Hell yeah. That's badass.
And everybody was there to see me. And that was a lot of fun. And Zach was really cool. And I mean, you got a taste of it for sure.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, he's a Washington boy. He's from the state, you know, I'm from Washington. He's from Washington too. So it's been cool to see him just absolutely skyrocket because you don't see a lot of people, you know, from the West Coast in the country music scene. Honestly, it's kind of like not that heard of around here. So to see him, you know, kind of doing that shit has been pretty sweet, but he's like big time now, dude, like crazy.
You can just take a look at him or listen to him for 10 seconds and tell that dude was born for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like your same thing. So I went to a Treaty Oak concert, which they had to have, you know, booked before their like absolute massive skyrocket. There was like 100 people and it should have, dude, there should have been multiple thousands there. So I think I got the last, like the smallest show they'll ever play again. And it was like in your face. Personal, like literally like 100 people in there, dude.
They're
but
they all,
should not have been there.
Oh, those guys are wild, man. I don't think I can keep up, to be honest. I don't like in regards to like going out and hanging out. Like, I mean, and who knows if they're like that behind the scenes.
Yeah, true,
like,
true.
The show that they put on, dude, is they were at the Calf Fry.
Yeah.
They headlined one of the nights and they were incredible.
Just freaking rocking your ass off, dude. It's
crazy. And they sound, and this is like their records are incredible. They might sound even better live.
Yeah, that's what I thought, dude. Because I always be kind of judging people how they sound like online, and you hear them live, and you're like, "Hold up, what the hell? You sound way different, dude."
I know some folks like that. I know some folks like you don't want to give them, you don't want to give them too much leash live.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Like sometimes, like another person that I think sounds exactly like they do on a record or live is Kip Moore. Like I heard him and I'm like, dude, that dude sounds the exact same.
Yeah.
And that's like one other guy that I've heard. But I'm like, dude, when I'm like, man, you don't even sound like you up there. What the hell?
Yeah, that's no bueno.
Yeah.
It's not the goal.
No, definitely not. What do you think the craziest moment that's ever happened to you, like on stage is? Or is there all kinds of shit? Or is there one good one?
Without a doubt, I know the exact story. We were playing a little bar in Belleville, Illinois, and it was New Year's Day. And this gal, I don't know if it was her 50th birthday or 60th birthday, but, you know, I love her. Like we yeah. met for this incident, and she's no spring chicken, yeah. you know, and she had had a little too many waters with lemon, and she's dancing, and then she wipes out. And I remember thinking like I'm like middle of a verse or whatever. Yeah. You're thinking, damn, like that was a good fall, you know, like it wasn't yeah. like, just tripped over somebody's foot or something. And so as she stands up, like she falls backwards, doesn't look like she hits her head. And as she's standing up, I see like a puddle of blood on the floor. In my mind, I'm like, you know, did she like flail her hand up and like hit her nose? Like, how the hell do you manage? Like, how's your nose bleeding from that? And then like my eyes start to widen, and I basically, she had a compound fracture of her radius.
Shit.
So like, I'm like watching her hand, literally, like, I apologize if this is graphic, but I'm like watching her hand. She's not supporting it. She's had so much to
do,
not supporting it. And I'm watching her hand like descend as I see more and more bone stick out. And I look back at my band.
Are you still singing?
Yeah, dude. What? And then I'm like, nobody else is seeing this other than like the band. Like they're all caught in their own thing. And I'm like, hey, call an ambulance. And everybody just kind of looks like, and I'm like, no, call a damn ambulance, you know? And then again, nobody's like moving. So I scream it. And then like somebody, like then they like come to their senses, yeah. like activate, like this gal's in bad shape. But yeah, and then we just went right into the next song.
And like, then just
that's what
like,
we got.
Happen. I mean, I feel like you'd have to do that, honestly.
But yeah, that was the most graphic thing that I've ever seen.
That's ridiculous, dude. Holy
oh,
shit.
Yeah. I'll never forget the eyes of my drummer specifically, like just huge. Just
like, whoa, what the hell?
Yeah. And she wanted to drive herself to the hospital, you know, because she said she was right-handed and this was her left hand. And everybody's like, you're not doing it.
Like, no, hell no. Yeah.
But it took a little bit for the adrenaline to wear off for her and the pain to kick in. And the story that I was told is that when somebody was like comforting her, telling her it was going to be okay, they said like, don't worry. Let's call her Jane. Don't worry. Yeah. And like, you'll get titanium in there and you'll be able to give bionic hand jobs. So,
yeah.
So life in perspective. I don't know if we got to edit that out or not, but that.
Leaving that in, dude, that's hilarious.
That's what they told her. But I know musicians have crazy stories, but I'd wager that holds a candle to anything.
Dude, holy shit, that is hilarious.
Yeah. And that's just, you fact check that.
Get the other perspective from it, dude. Oh my gosh, that's crazy, dude. So when you're up there, are you like actually like looking at the people who's in the crowd and like paying attention to them a little bit, or are you in your own zone up there?
I try to be in my own zone, dude, but honestly, most days like I feel about like this big, and like I'm kind of surveying the crowd, and it's actually why I just Parker McCollum just said this, and it spoke to me, but it's like, it's why I mess up lyrics sometimes, is I'm looking at the crowd and I'm like, okay, there, that lady's, you know, walking away with her friends. Is, you know, is she going to the bathroom to get a drink? Like, what's she doing? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But, the feedback that I get from people is, I don't think they're bluffing me. Like it's overwhelmingly positive, but I think part of artistry is like very personal, and you're like hypercritical of yourself. I mean, I bet Stokes might share a lot of this as well, or any of the other artists that you've had on here. Like, you know, you want everything to go perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely.
The things like the micro mistakes that I perseverate over, like when I come down, I'm like, oh, dude, nobody even. They're oblivious. Like nobody else knows that aside from the band. And
yeah, exactly. Like most people probably wouldn't even know if you messed something up. They would have no idea. And then so then why be worried about it, honestly?
Yeah, but how many things in our life actually ever go 100% according to plan?
Never. Right?
Ever. So in the moment, I don't always keep that perspective, but I'm really working on keeping that perspective and just falling in. Because at the end of the day, what I'm doing today is what I dreamed about doing 3 years or even 2 years ago or a year ago. Yeah. Like some of the opportunities that we've had, like me and my buddy Jordan Cammer getting us on a White Sox field, and then again it opened in a couple of weeks. Like, that's cool stuff. So I can't trip over the minutia of what is really insignificant anyway.
Nah, dude, because yourself three years ago looking now would probably think you're badass, dude, for doing all this stuff. So you can't be sweating that little stuff, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna ask you who the coolest dude you've opened for, but was it the Zach Top one? Or is there a different one?
Cool is.
Or your favorite one, I would say.
I opened for a couple guys that I wanted to smack. But the first big opening act we had was for Travis Tritt.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And I grew up listening to Travis Tritt.
We all did.
And hearing stories about my old man talk about how wild Travis Tritt was. And so that was like holy shit, am I gonna be him one day? Like, am I gonna follow in his foot? Like, is this what the future holds? Like, that was really surreal. And I was maybe a year into things, and that was really cool. But Chase Beckham, there's another West Coast boy. He was one of my favorites too. He let me sing a song with him, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But we've had some great opportunities, man.
Dude, hell yeah. It sounds so fun, dude. Like I said, I've just always dreamed of just being on a stage, like in front of people like that. Because like with waterfowl hunting, dude, it's just like you're just by yourself all the time. Like, obviously I've got a pretty big presence on the internet, but it's not like that energy like there in your face, like seeing all that stuff, dude. It just sounds so sick.
Yeah, I'm not bluffing. We can work something out.
I want to hella bad, dude.
Come on. You play guitar at all?
No, not at all.
Can you fade?
Zero instrument skills, dude. Zero. I could be a hype man. I could like hype you up out before a show or some shit.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll work. Dude, if you're serious, I'm serious. We'll work. If you really want to do that, we can make it happen.
Dude, I do. Let's fucking do it, dude. So when you're going into a show, do you have like a set plan, or you just kind of like roll with it for how the crowd's doing, or you just like stick to a plan, or just kind of just wing it a little bit?
Do you mean like a ritual, like a pre-show ritual, or
just like playing a show, like what songs you're gonna do, if you're gonna like slide a cover in or like play all your songs, do you have like a plan for it?
We've got a relatively standard set list for our big shows. I take a lot of pride in when we do cover songs. I take a lot of pride in covering songs that like most country artists wouldn't cover.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a lot of fun. Like, we do a pretty good rendition of Fat Bottom Girls.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. That went over great at Pops. I promise you. I promise. That was freaking on brand. But we play some Poison. Like, I mean, talk about shredding on guitar. My
dude, hell yeah,
lead guitarists would just go nuts on Nothing But a Good Time. But
damn, can that dude just straight up shred?
Yeah, like I don't, like there's days that I think I'm, you know, pretty solid at guitar, and then like, I mean, it's just a testament to the crew that we've assembled. But I look over and I'm like, dude, I suck. Like, there's always a bigger fish. And he'll get going in solos and make these faces, and I kind of look at my keyboard player every time, and he just rolls his eyes, and I bust out laughing. But his name's Dan, and he's so good. But one more thing that I will plug, a cover that we actually released streaming platforms that anybody listening, I hope you check out. It's Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Elton John.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't know many, I've never heard another male artist in any genre, but let alone cover that and release it. And we get a lot of requests for that.
Damn, that's sick.
That one's cool.
Yeah, so you mix in some different stuff. That's badass, dude.
That's kind of my MO. It's like I try to look at it as like a business lens and not just play Should Have Been a Cowboy.
Yeah.
Times in a row. Like when obviously joking, like you can't do that. When we were coming up, you know, and only playing in bars, you know, I had a guy that was somewhat involved that was like, you gotta every song you play has gotta be a high collar or a high pace country, you know, cover. And I was like, dude, that's not me, and that's not who I want to be, and that's not what we're gonna do. And you can go somewhere else if you want to do that. And he did. And
damn,
good luck to him. but
yeah, no kidding. That's freaking sweet. So dialing it back to what you said before, do you have any like pre-show rituals that you do, or you just kind of like hang out before one?
Dude, I just try to hang out, you know, yeah. Take a listen to the band or act that's playing before us, stay off my phone, just kind of maybe get a light bite to eat.
Yeah.
Try to keep the food off my shirt. I spilled wing sauce. I had this sick dive bomb white colored shirt that I was wearing, and I had no backup shirt. And I was playing across from Busch Stadium in St. Louis. And
yeah,
I had like an hour to kill, and I got buffalo sauce like from here, from like, you know, sternum to like navel, and I just had to rock it, man.
Really, you just had to own it, dude?
Yeah, I had to own it. It was
damn brutal. That's tough.
I just try to kind of lay low before shows. I'm not a like some guys like hype jump around and
yeah, and just
cartwheels
get all hyped up and stuff.
It's not really me.
Got you. Do you get a couple drinks in you before a show, or you just go up there sober? I wouldn't say sober, but like knock the edge off a little bit or not?
Yeah, sometimes. When I first started playing and I was real nervous, that was like kind of a crutch, you know?
Yeah,
he was my crutch. I've dialed that back, and maybe that's maturity, or maybe it's people.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, getting a little more confident. You don't have to lean on something like that anymore. You're just more confident in it. I mean, I could totally see that.
Yeah. And also, like, I wake up in the morning feeling better than I do. Like,
absolutely.
Six shots of Red Stag or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, even like for me, I drink a lot of beer in the summer just because I love Busch Light, dude. But during the duck season, I go, like, this will be my sixth year, I think. I go sober from October to February every year because I just get tired of waking up and like on a Saturday morning, I don't want to be hung over from a Friday night and have to go set out 100 dozen decoys and just be working my ass off. So I just cold turkeyed it, and it was like the best thing I've ever did. And I tell people to try it all the time. I'm like, you don't have to if you don't want to, but I'm telling you, you feel a lot better in the morning if you're not hurting from the night before, dude.
How's that first beer in February?
Oh gosh, I look forward to it. Like come mid January, I'm like, yo, let's go. I want that Busch Light, dude. I always have one. So like, it's always our end of the season is the last Sunday of January, and after that hunt, I immediately crack a Busch Light and just look at, you know, hang out for a little bit, and I get buzzed off like two beers.
Yeah,
like I lost all the tolerance, dude. Dang, you got me all worked up thinking about that beer, and it's August. I got so long to wait.
Man, you'll be all right.
It's my favorite, dude. I look forward to it so much.
Have you tried the Busch Light Lime?
I did, yeah. Actually, it didn't even come to the West Coast, but my sister was on a road trip in Michigan. She picked me up a 12-pack. I thought it was pretty good. I'm just a regular Busch guy, dude. Like, I just like regular Busch Light. You know, I like the apples too, but I can't drink like 10 apples a night if I'm partying, or like 10 limes, dude. It's got to be the regular one.
Yeah. Yeah, I might turn into a werewolf after 10 apples.
Yeah, yeah, no, I can't do that. But like, last night we had our demo derby, and that was pretty sweet. Drank a couple beers there.
I got to get out there. That looked bad.
It's the hometown county fair demo derby. Dude, it's like legendary around here. These guys build all year, you know, to go smash a car for 10 minutes. The tensions are high. They got all this drama going on. I got, you know, three homies that built cars. Dude, it's sick. So I'm looking forward to tonight. It goes on again tonight. So I'll be posting a bunch of smashing on my story tonight, dude. But it's so badass. And like the national anthem, somebody will sing the national anthem, and right after that, everyone fires their cars up, dude. It gives you chills, dude. Hear all those V8s with the hood stacks firing up, dude. Dude, I can't wait to see it again tonight.
That's America.
Dude, absolutely. The national anthem to a V8 firing up, dude, like 100 of them. It's so sick, dude.
No, that's America.
Yeah. Well, I got two last questions for you. So I saw a little like shirt you had with the Dive Bomb Mallard logo on it. And I was like, was that custom? Did you get that custom made?
Yeah. I was super nervous about doing that. I thought I was going to get yelled at. But the consensus was, that's badass. We need to get those. Anytime you want to do cool shit like that, do it.
I was like, dude, that's freaking sick.
Hope they release it and call it like the Carl or something.
Yeah, the Carl. And then I saw you signed a dude's arm and he got it tattooed on him, dude. Was that real?
That's real. Like, yeah. And that guy, I think he's trying to like kind of earn the tattoo, so to speak, because he's like posting about us all like 3 times a day now. But
really,
that was real. Yeah, he was a couple beers in, couple couple 10 maybe. He had Sammy Hagar on the other arm and he was like, sign this arm. I'm going to get it tattooed tonight. And I was like, are you for real? If you for real get this tattooed tonight, I will stop this song right now and come sign your arm. And then he followed up and sure enough, he did. This is great too. Perfect note to end on. He said he got it in some kind of specific color. Like, I think it's like a lighter pink so that it glows in the strip
club. Oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah, shout out to Jeff Kennedy. He did that. That's real life.
Good old Jeff Kennedy, dude, with the tattoo. I couldn't believe that. I was like, holy shit. Dude, yeah. He just signed his arm and he just went straight to the parlor and got that on there.
That night.
Dude. So it can glow in the strip clubs. It's absolutely insane.
It's real life.
That is crazy, man. Well, dude, I appreciate you coming on. You got any shows you're excited for coming up in like the near future? Or are you just kind of just traveling around and doing the thing?
Yeah, I mean, mentioned it a little bit ago, but a week from today, we're flying out to Oakland. The Athletics, right? I don't know. Yeah. The Oakland Athletics that are moving to Vegas, but playing in Sacramento. So
yeah,
they're having me out to sing the national anthem. My buddy Jordan lined that up. There's an outside chance we open for one of my favorite artists. I'd love to actually cut a song with him one day. His name's William Clark Green.
I love him. Yeah.
I saw him at the Calf Fry too in Stillwater a few months ago. And
yeah,
instant fan. So I'd love to do that. That might be on August 15th. I should hear back early this week.
Yeah, I saw him live in Joseph, Oregon at, I forget the name of it. It was like 4 years ago, but dude, his live show was phenomenal, dude. I was like, holy shit.
Killer.
It was insane. So that'd be badass, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love that. But dude, thanks for having me.
Dude, no problem. Appreciate you coming on. I was like, man, I need to get him on here and kind of shoot the shit for a little bit. And where can people find you online?
Anywhere, dude. Social media is a blessing and a curse, but websites, ethancarl.com. Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram, Facebook. I mean, all of it. So, all of it.
Perfect, dude. You heard it there first. Find him wherever. He's got great songs out. And appreciate you coming on, man. And hopefully have a good weekend. And we'll catch you later.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Matt.